When I awoke this morning, I rose to meet the day. It seemed no different than the day before. Then this thought to me occurred, that it's recorded in God's word, that on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. And he'll take his chosen people far away. Trumpets so loud and clear, and on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come, and he'll take his chosen people far away. And I'm listening now to hear that trumpet so loud and clear. On some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. There will be no time to warn you. There will be no time to mend your ways. So suddenly the Lord will come again. And then the trump of God, it will sound so loud, it'll wake the sainted dead. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. And he'll take his chosen people far away.
Woo, we're going to leave here, church.
And I'm listening now to hear that trumpet so loud and clear. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. And on some ordinary, like today, the Lord will come. And he'll take his chosen people far away. And I'm listening now to hear that trumpet so loud and clear. And on some ordinary, like today, the Lord will come. There will be no time to warn you, no time to mend your ways. So suddenly the Lord will come again. Then the trump of God, it will sound so loud, it'll wake the sainted dead. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come. And on some ordinary day, like today,
you stand, Bible in hand, and worship.
And he'll take his chosen people far away. And I'm listening now to hear that trumpet so loud and clear. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will
sing the chorus
come.
With them, will you? Hallelujah.
And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come, and he'll take his chosen people far away. And I'm listening now to hear that trumpet so loud and clear. And on some ordinary day, like today, the Lord will come.
Beautiful. Don't you love beautiful, beautiful music that has a message in it? Don't
the
give
book
me
of
music
Psalms.
That just makes a noise.
The book of Psalms.
Don't give
this
me
morning.
Music just to get something
in my feet.
I want music that'll get something in my heart. There's a lot of difference in the feet and the heart. Did you know that? And our music is just beautiful. I love it. I love it. I've started putting our worship songs on the internet and Facebook, just regular. And songs like that is as we really get the music has been quality, but sometimes we don't get just the right ring in the tapes. And I just want to put all of this good music out there because it's good. I don't want this new fling stuff. Does anybody here want the new fling stuff? I'll tell you where you can go if you want to go hear it. It won't be here. I wouldn't tell you. I'm kidding. God bless you. Open your Bible to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms this morning. The Holy Ghost really poured this message in my heart. And I wanted to ring. I want it to ring clear like a bell this morning. I'm going to preach on an empty soul is a waste basket. An empty soul is a waste basket. Now you'll get the message as I preach, because I think it's a very, just an incredible truth, an incredible thought. An empty basket. An empty soul is a waste basket. I could say an empty heart is a hollow, empty place. I could say an empty soul is a garbage dump. There's many things you could say about the human soul, and the human soul and the human heart are basically synonymous. A little variation as you study the Bible, but certainly speaking of the same reality, an empty heart or an empty soul is going to be a dump for the devil. It's going to be a dump for the world. And all kinds of things are going to be dumped in it, dumped on it. And so you need to understand this morning that you are a living soul. A living soul, and that your soul fits only the things of Christ the Lord. Everything else is contrary to the appetite of the soul, contrary to the need of the soul, contrary to the satisfaction of the soul. So if your soul is not full of God, it becomes a dump. It becomes a place where all kinds of things enter in and set your life in confusion and brokenness, and just literally turns your life on its own head. So I pray this morning you will hear me. I want to use as a text one of the greatest chapters in the Bible that I love dearly, Psalms Division 1, 6 verses, and I shall read all 6 of them because it gives both sides to the human heart, of the human soul. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now notice, blessed is the man that walketh not, blessed is the man that standeth not, and blessed is the man that sitteth not. If you look at those three words, standing, sitting, or walking, and that is all the things that we do all the time that we're not asleep or resting on our back. Everything that happens in a human life is either standing, seated, or walking. Make sense? So, it's the totality of your life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by a river or rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But there's another side. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. What a text. What a marvelous scripture. It just says everything that needs to be said about successful living or unsuccessful living. Father, your servant is desperate for that sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost. I've already felt it much as I've worshiped, but I need a double portion for the preaching of the word. Let truth go forth like a mighty, mighty river. Let it wash away those things that disturb and trouble. And let it bring in its wake wonderful truth and wonderful reality. And may the joys of the Lord be our strength this morning. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. And you may be seated. An empty soul is a wastebasket. I want you to remember those words. I want you to write them on your mind. Would you help me? An empty soul, an empty heart, is a wastebasket, a garbage dump, a place where all kinds of litter, trash, finds its way until it fills that soul or that heart with things that destroy, with things that will make your life miserable. Now let's talk a bit about the soul. May I read a verse to you that makes plain the value of the soul? It's in Genesis 2 and 7. Genesis 2 and 7. Very powerful verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A living soul. What a verse. And the Lord, this is God, formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What a scripture. A living soul. You are not just the soul. You are a living soul. There is life that God's sweet spirit of life has issued into your person and into your being, so that you are a living soul. Now God gave man a living soul. The soul of man did not come from mother or did not come from daddy. It is God's divine order, so that when a son or daughter is born, God places a living soul in that being, in that person. Not a soul, but a living soul. So here is a portion, here is a gift that came from God. Here is a living soul that God has imputed into human beings. And the soul has a special shape to it. The soul has a special nature to it. This soul has a unique capacity to it. And it is such, and it is so shaped, that nothing fits but God. It's a living soul. And nothing fits but God. You can put other things in it. You can pile it up. You can wreck it. You can fill it with trash. But nothing fits. Nothing satisfies. Nothing fulfills the desire and the passion of the soul but God. God made the soul so that nothing else would satisfy it but Himself. He didn't make it to be a part of a godless world. He made it to be part of a holy place and a holy world. And you can strive to the ends of this earth to find something that will fit your soul, but God, but it will never fit. It will never satisfy. It will never give you what God desires to put in your soul. Now, this to me is a marvelous thing. I begin to think of the living soul that God is given to every human being. It thrills me. What a special thing. What a unique thing. What a marvelous miracle. What a supernatural thing that God has made you a living soul and has so made that soul that nothing else will satisfy it on the face of this earth. Nothing else will make it fulfilled and happy. Nothing else fits but God. But God. You wonder why the world is so insane. You wonder why wicked people will go to such depths in their dark lifestyles. You wonder why men of all kinds of capacities, many of them rich and full of treasures, many of them highly learned, highly educated, and great in human wisdom, but they are miserable. I will never forget reading some of the stories of great people. Karl Marx, great philosopher. In his last hours, he said, I've learned that nothing really makes a man happy but real meaning of life. Real meaning of life. There have been people that have tried to say all kinds of things would make you happy and successful and great. And they've tried to tell you of so many ways to become fulfilled and successful and leaders in your world. But it doesn't matter what they tell you and how hard you try and how hard you strive. When you come down to the end of the way and there's no God, it becomes a miserable, miserable thing. I really want you to get that. I really want you to get that. Nothing fits the soul but God. You've got a soul, a living soul. If you think you can take it to an institution of learning, I think of people who go to the highest degree of learning. They want a doctorate degree, and then they want other degrees, and then they want all kinds of benefits that go with the degrees, and they are miserable. And look at what's happening in our world of education. I mean, the things that are now becoming philosophies on university campuses is insane. Because the soul of man cannot be satisfied except God is fit in. Oh, would you just raise your hand? I want that thought to sink in. I don't want you to ever forget it, that your soul cannot be satisfied by nothing but God. You can run here and you can run there. You can go to the ends of human wisdom. You can go to the ends of financial success. You can go to the ends of pleasures, all kinds of pleasures, but you'll come back as empty as you were when you went. Hallelujah. Because nothing satisfies the soul but God. Raise your hand and just worship. Hallelujah. 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 I tried to write things that I think about men seeking after religion. Religion is as empty as a gourd until it gets a hold of your heart and Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. Religion could be the most empty thing out there. It really can. I mean, you can have a good religion. It can be biblically sound. It can be biblically perfected. But it can still be empty if all it is up here and it never gets down here. You got to get, the soul is down here, not up there. It may, the things that feed the soul may start up there, but until they get down here, they've done you no good. Are you listening to me? I want you to take this home with you because you'll never want to turn aside if you understand what Brother Chambers is trying to say this morning. You know, the highest accomplishment of human life is today in our world said to be either academics, or financial success, or business acumen. You know, it's got to be something that has to do with the world. And they are so miserable. Look at them right now. Read the newspaper. Look at the mess that comes out of the news media. Look at all the things that they say about good things that might help America go back to God. They want nothing to do with it because they don't understand it. It makes no sense to them, but to you and I who know the ways of God, it's a beautiful thing. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to take one of the most important people in the Bible, and I want to look at him, David, King David. As I thought of this sermon, I couldn't help but see David walking down the pathway that we see when you talk about the soul. You know, when David was called of God, it was indeed a marvelous thing. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel. And you will find something so beautiful. Let's go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 and 11. And let's look a minute. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." I thought, what a picture. Samuel, the old prophet of God, dealing with a father. He's walked in front of him seven sons. Beautiful pictures, specimen men of character, men of stature, men well trained and well taught. But Samuel looks at them and said, "But he's not the right one. But he's not the right one. But he's not the right one." And finally, he says to Jesse, it's like he's desperate. Jesse, don't you have any more sons? "Yeah, I got one. I got a little lad. He's just a strapping of a guy. He's out there with the sheep. We got him out there doing the hard labor. We got him out there doing the hard labor. These are boys around the house, but David's doing the hard labor." He said, "Send for him, because we're not going to sit down till he gets here." Oh, Samuel knew what he's talking about, didn't he? He knew God had told him that there was a son in this house that God wanted. And those seven tall, strong, capable men, none of them fit the bill. But here comes this little lad. He's been out watching the sheep. He's been out taking care of the fields and keeping the lions and the bears off of their flock. And here he comes. And when Samuel sees him, listen, when Samuel sees him, and he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful complexion and got goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. Oh, what a picture. God choosing a young man to be king. And he was ruddy. He was kind of handsome to look at. I guess you would say by that, he looked, like a picture of good lookings. He looked a picture of someone who was not very strong, maybe, but very fair to look upon. But he was God's man, and the Holy Ghost came upon him. And follow the life of David from that point, and it's breathtaking. Oh, if I had time, I'd take you over to the war zone where King Saul and his army are fighting with the Philistines. And there's a giant that's come up that is 8 foot, 9 foot tall. And everybody among the Jews is scared to death. I mean, they're trembling. Nobody to fight him. He's calling for somebody who will come and fight him. And nobody's willing. And David goes simply to take some cheese and some bread to his brothers. I mean, he's just waiting on them. He's serving his brothers. But he comes and he sees this giant. And he hears the roar of the giant. And he sees the trembling of his brothers and the rest of Israel. And David says, I'll go fight him. Why, you're nothing but a kid. His brothers laugh at him. They criticize him. But David said, don't you understand? I was out there watching my father's sheep, and a bear came out of the woods to attack the bear. And I grabbed him by the beard. And I shook him. And I rode him with damage. And he went running for the woods. He said, and then a lion came out. I believe the lion had the beard. The lion came out. And he said, I did the same with the lion. He said, just let me go for that guy. So they brought David. This is so beautiful. They brought him armor. You know, the steel armor. A heavy sword. Can I look now? Here stands David. He's about 5'3", 4" maybe. I don't know, maybe 7". You know, maybe 9 like I am. I don't know. But he was certainly not tall like Brother Joseph. You know, he comes and they put this armor on him, and it just weights him down. He says, I've never proved this stuff. Just let me go like I'm used to. And so he goes by the creek and gets him 5 smooth stones. Woo! And he's facing the old giant, and the giant is angry. The giant is chiding him. The giant's laughing at him. I'll feed your carcass to the buzzards. You know, that giant thought he had it made, but David knew the God of Israel. Are you listening to me? You see, David had found something in his soul beside religion. David was not just a Jew in his head. He was a believer in his heart. That's what we need this church to be full of, is men and women who know something beside religion. I'm here preaching to you this morning that your soul will be nothing but a wastebasket if you don't get it full of God, if you don't stay on your face, if you don't get out there in the secret places and get a hold of the King of Kings. You wonder why I'm so happy this morning? It's because I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. Hallelujah. I've been in his presence. I've been in his sunshine. I've been in his breathful rain. Woo! Hallelujah. And it's real when your soul is full of him. When your soul is full of him. Well, David was full of him. And of course, he faces the giant. Takes a swing. What do you call those things? A sling, yeah, I know that. But you call them something else when I was a boy. You didn't sling them, you pulled them. There's something different that we called it. Well, anyhow, that's what David had. Can you, now I want you to look. This has got to be the grandest picture. Here's this little lad coming down the side of one hill. And over there on the other side stands this giant 8-9 feet tall with armor bearers. He's not only protected himself, but he's got armor bearers around him to protect him. And David has nothing but a sling in his hand. And I don't know why he got 5 smooth stones. They tell me he had 4 brothers. Did he really have 4 brothers? He did. Had 4 brothers. Woo! It's going to be carnage this day because God's got a man on the hillside. Did you hear me? It's going to be carnage this day because God got a man on the hillside. He doesn't have God in his head. He's got God in his heart. if you don't shout with me, I'll do it all. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Woo! Oh, David rings up. What is he doing? He's getting prepared, huh? How he's building pressure. I don't know. And he slings that little stone. Whoop! The one place that giant was susceptible was his forehead. And God knows exactly how to lead his servant to the right spot. Oh, I tell you what, I get so excited. Oh, David was something special. I really love David. I really do. I love him. But there's a dark chapter. You know, I hate to take you to the dark chapter of David's life. But I couldn't preach this sermon like I should unless I take you to that dark chapter. David, somewhere, allows his soul to become a trash can. You say, Brother Chambers, I'll never let that happen. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's heart from the time he was chosen. If you don't believe it, you read Acts chapter 13, and it will tell you that God chose him at Jesse's house because God showed him he was a man after God's own heart. But if there's anybody the devil wants, it's a man after God's own heart. If there's anybody the devil wants, is any one of you sitting in this building who truly loves God, who's truly got a calling on your life, I'm here to tell you the devil wants you. The devil wants to take you and make mincemeat out of you. I'll never forget the story. Brother Terry Dove preached it in that building over yonder before this building was built. And it was a true story. He told the story of a man whom the devil stole. He was a gospel preacher. He was a man of stature. He was a man of dedication to God. And in his sins, he became an alcoholic. An alcoholic. And his son, who was a preacher, found him right before he died in a beer joint, sitting in there half drunk or completely drunk, inebriated with whiskey. And finally, this man died and went to hell. And Brother Dove told, and I know this part is not biblical and you can't prove it, but he told how the devil will take a man of God and will destroy him and will finally kill him. And then he will take his carcass and hang it on the walls of hell and say, this is a trophy from my kingdom, the dark kingdom of evil and sin and wickedness. And I think how terrible for a godly man to become a trophy on the wall of hell. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, whatever it costs, let's every one of us make sure we never let the devil make a trophy out of us. Hang us on the wall of hell and say, I stole him from the Israel room. Woo! Would you raise your hand and say, God, help me to grow and ever stand tall and ever stand strong and never back up and never give up and never submit and never let my mind become an empty place where trash can be poured upon it. Never, 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 never. Well, the servant of God, David, became such a disaster. I was reading a novel on the woman, Bathsheba, that he committed fornication with, then had her husband killed. I was reading a novel. I love good Bible stories. And I was reading it, and I got to this point, and I got to where David literally called Uriah in, hoping to cover up his fornication sin with Uriah's wife. And Uriah was such a man of stature, was a man of such devotion to the army of which he was part of. He wouldn't even go in to the home with his wife, but slept on the front porch before the door, proving to everybody that he was a man of stature and he would not succumb. And David gives him a note and sends him back to the army and says to the captain, put him on the front of the battle and back up from him. Let him get killed. When I read that, I got mad. You say, Brother Chambers, you're not supposed to get mad. Yeah, you can get mad at holy things when people desecrate them. Yeah, you need a little spice in your being against wickedness. I hate sin. Do you hate sin? The righteous people hate sin. Righteous people hate sin. I threw that book away. I wouldn't read another word. I don't want to hear that. It troubled me for days that David would do such a thing. Oh God. You see, but our world is full of that kind of stuff. Do you understand? Our world's full of that. Our world is full of preachers that are backslid, and they live for themselves. They're more interested in money. Or David became a disaster. David became a disaster, a man after God's own heart. But somehow, now understand, sin got in his soul. His soul became a wastebasket. His soul became a dark ditch for uncleanness. His soul became a garbage dump. And here's David, and his soul's a garbage dump, a man after God's own heart. He's really been used of God. He's been a blessing, and David is now a disaster. And so David finally repented. David finally repented. Remember the old prophet of God that took David and was talking to him? Said, David, if you had a man and he had only one sheep, one sheep, and some rich man with many sheep would come and take that one sheep from that man, what would you do? Oh, he says, I'd judge him. I'd really give it to him. The old prophet of God said, you're the man. You're the man. And so David fell before God in repentance. You know, repentance is the greatest thing God's people ever kept close to their heart. Repentance is the most important thing you'll never forget. Repentance is what keeps you in the darkest hour. Oh, repentance. Always be willing to say, I'm sorry. Always be willing to say, I'm sorry. Oh, Sister Chambers, I've had to say it several times, even to you through the years. Not because of fornication, but because I just was too mouthy at you. Oh, but you've been a little bit mouthy at me, but not much. Oh, let me leave this out. I'll be in trouble when I get home. Listen to me. David was a disaster, but God got a hold of him. I want to read you the words of David as he repents. Because I'm trying to show you that your heart and your soul can be an empty garbage bin. It can be a wastebasket. And David, I don't know where it started. I can't tell you where it started with David. I can tell you there's several places you can see evidence of it. Several places you can see him going down the wrong path. Several places you can see him going in the wrong direction. I guarantee you there's somebody sitting here that you know of times when you have gone in the wrong direction. I do. Are you willing to admit you've been in the wrong direction a few times? Why don't you raise your hand way up high and say, God, I repent this morning. I come to you with all of my heart. I'm willing for you to charge me. I'm willing for you to look inside of my soul, look inside of my heart, and you see anything that's in there that has no business being there. And send an old prophet of God to put his finger on my nose. Are you willing? If the Holy Ghost would get a hold of me this morning or tonight, and I'd walk right back where you sitting, and I would say, you've been playing around. You've been out of order. You've been so busy making fun and having good time. You've been so busy doing the little things you like. You've been so busy doing the little things that satisfy you that you haven't been taking time to pray. You haven't been on your face like you ought to be. You haven't been as close to God. I'm telling you, church, let's every one of us get real this morning. Let's square our shoulders. Come on, raise your shoulders up and square them right strong right before God and say, God, you get a hold of me. You bring me where you want me to be. You show me anything about my thoughts, of my life, where anything is getting into my soul. Nothing else fits but God. Would you say it with me? Nothing fits the soul but God. Come on, I want you to say it out loud. Nothing fits the soul but God. Say it loud. Nothing fits the soul but God. pleasure, money, things, nothing, nothing. But you got to hear David's repentance. I mean, this man, you see, this will show you what happens when your soul becomes a wastebasket. This will show you. Listen. Oh, Lord, this is Psalms 38, 1. Oh, Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is any rest in my bones because of my sins. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I have roared because by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. You see, a wastebasket in your soul will make you sick. It will make you broken. It will make you diseased. It will make you unhappy. It will trouble you. It will wound you. It'll take you to the point of despair. It even can make you commit suicide. There is no end to what a wastebasket soul can come to. There is no end to what can happen in a life that turns away from God. There is no end to what can happen to a person that never comes to God. Because the world out there is a wastebasket. The world out there is nothing but trouble. The soul of men are nothing but empty hearts until Jesus comes and takes up his residence. And there is no such thing as happiness until he is the center of your life. And when he becomes the center of your life, nothing can steal your happiness. Nothing can take your joy. Nothing can destroy you. Nothing can defeat you as long as he is the essence of your soul. Woo! Hallelujah. Satron be adriacamia. Hallelujah. Oh, church, how did David end his life? David end his life. I will read it to you. In Psalms division 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him in his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrels and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's a soul that's full of God. That's a soul that's full of righteousness. That's a soul that belongs to the King. Your soul, empty without Christ, is a dump. And all kinds of things will find their way. And all kinds of destruction will come your way. But I got news for you, friend. You just walk with God. You obey God. You do what's right before God. You determine that you're going to live right regardless. Now, let me say a couple of things as I complete this sermon. The only way, the only power, the only great force that can work the deep work of God in your soul is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Your soul cannot even be fed from your mind without the work of the Holy Ghost. Your soul cannot live on the Scripture without the work of the Holy Ghost. You can read all kinds of scriptures and memorize half of them, but until the Holy Ghost takes the essence of those scriptures and place them inside of your very soul and your being, you're still empty, and trash will gather and garbage will gather. But oh, get it full of God. Get it full of the Bible. Get it full of the Holy Ghost. Get it full of spiritual things. Get it full of happy living. Get it full of obedience and surrender. And I promise you, hallelujah, the desires of your soul will get the attention of God. Hallelujah. The desires of your soul will get the attention of God. I want you to know something right now. God knows what your real desires are. God knows what what you really follow. God, excuse me. God knows the things that are eating you up and chewing you up and taking your attention. Away from God. And I'm telling you, ain't nothing can satisfy you.
Like the sweet visit of the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna raise it both hands. Like the sweet visit of the Holy Ghost.
I tell you, I love it. I love it. I love to think of my living soul being a place that God can fill, Brother Jackie. Hallelujah. I love to think of my joy in making sure, hallelujah, the desires of my heart, again, heart and soul, the desires of my heart are God. If you hunger and thirst after the things of God, God will satisfy every appetite of your being. Seek the Lord with all thine heart. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. Did you hear what I said? Seek the Lord with all thine heart. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. I'm here to tell you, a heart full of God is the sweetest thing on the face of this earth. Brother Charles, a heart full of God is the sweetest thing on the face of this earth. Can I say that again? Will you hear me? A heart full of God, a soul full of God. It's a living soul. I'm here to tell you, your soul is a living part of you. And it's just open. It's ready for God to come in and for God to take over. But God doesn't do it unless you invite him, unless you allow him, unless he's welcome. God will never, never, never take advantage of you. God will never impose himself on you. God comes at your invitation. Bow your heads, will you? Father, oh, I love it to know what you can do with a living soul. And Father, don't ever let us forget those two words, living soul. Father, much of the holiness world are losing their young people because we teach them to live holy in the flesh. But we don't teach them to get their soul right with God. Father, help us once again preach sanctification and old time surrender. Help us to preach to people what the blood can do inside, how the blood can wash the soul, how the blood can wash the heart, how the blood can fill us with purity, God. And we'll never want that world. We'll never want what it's got if we stay full of you, Jesus. Now, Father, bless this congregation. I love these people. God, you gave them to us, and every one of them sitting in this building this morning are important, important. Now, God, draw us to the throne. Shall we stand together? We're not going to worry about music this morning so that everybody can pray. How many of you are hungry for your soul to be full of God and nothing but God? Can I see your hand? Raise it way up high. You want God. Can we just wait a moment? Right here before you, God. Hallelujah. I love your word. It's overwhelming to this old man, God. Your word. The beautiful things of your scripture. The beautiful things of your scripture, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read chapter 37
of Psalms, verse 4.
I want to read it to you. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Place soul there with the word heart, will you? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The desires of thine heart, they are for you, friends. They are for you, saints of God, and they are indeed beautiful. The law of God is in the heart. The law of the of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. You get the law of God in your soul, in your heart, that living part of you, your steps can't slide. The Holy Ghost will speak to you when you get right in the very edge of where sin could affect you, and the Holy Ghost will just draw you back and keep you straight when it's in your heart, when you're surrendered to it, when you're dedicated to it, when you're committed to it. Oh, there's so many scriptures that I've got here. You can read on and on and on in this Bible to show the soul. Did you know the word soul is in the Bible 498 times? The word soul is in the Bible 498 times. The word heart is in the Bible 875 times. Soul and heart almost 1,500 times, because that's the center of you. Put your hand right here, will you? This heart, not the instrument, not the pump, but the soul, the inner you, the real you. That's where life springs. And grows from and explodes. There's some of you on the verge of spiritual explosion. You're on the verge of an outpouring of God's Holy Ghost, and you're one of them, Sister Norma. I mean, your last night in the Holy Ghost in the revival was beautiful. God got a hold of her. God got a hold of her. I want to tell you something. There is a possibility of some of you becoming such a dynamite blessing that you'd start winning your neighbors and you'd start winning your family members. But there's got to be an explosion in your soul. This living soul of you has got to become so full of God that there's no room for nothing else. And it's up to you to give up those other things that are in your heart or in your soul and give it all to God. Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm striving at it with all I got for the church. I want nothing but God in me the rest of my life. I wish I would have started 40 years ago living closer to the cross. But I can't do anything about 40 years ago. But I sure do something about today. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. Will you meet me in this altar and come and pray? Just come and stand before God, and let's together as a congregation make a commitment to God for a heart that's absolutely pure. Absolutely pure. No room for nothing else. No room for other things. My heart's got to be His only. Throw your hands up. Lead us, brethren. You men help lead now. How about wore me out? Father, rush my. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I want my heart to be so full of you, God. I want my heart to be so full of spiritual.
Nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. And love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song, and faithful loving service to Him belongs. For love lifted me, oh, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. And souls in danger, look above.